from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Chloe, July 27th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from Techno Sapiens, brains are not computers. A recent essay highlights the limitations of our current understanding of artificial intelligence, suggesting that our metaphors for AI are flawed and may be harming our relationship with technology. The author, a parent, shares a story about their 2-year-old son who struggles to understand abstract concepts, illustrating the complexity of human thought. They argue that metaphors, which allow us to understand abstract concepts by relating them to tangible things, are essential to human cognition. However, they also point out that our metaphors for AI, such as comparing it to human intelligence, may be misleading and lead us to see machines as more like us than they actually are. This could have significant implications for our understanding of consciousness and the differences between human and artificial intelligence. The author notes that our metaphors for AI are often based on a faulty assumption that the brain is a computer, which is a simplification of the complex processes that occur in the human brain. They suggest that this metaphor is limiting our understanding of AI and may lead us to overlook the fundamental differences between human and machine. The author also references science writer Michael Pollan, who argues that the idea of computational functionalism is a flawed metaphor that assumes the brain is a computer, but fails to account for the complexities of human experience and consciousness. The essay concludes that our metaphors for AI are not only shaping our understanding of technology, but also our understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. By recognizing the limitations of our metaphors and the complexity of human thought, we may be able to develop a more nuanced and accurate understanding of AI and its potential implications for society. Next, second, from Badass Matriarch, planning for Acadia, outfits. I'm putting together a quick capsule of what I packed for a week in Acadia so you can see the core pieces and how they mix. Main evenings stay cool even in summer, so I focused on layers. Think a lightweight fleece, a long-sleeved tee, and a reliable waterproof jacket for any waterside moments. The list is built around 10 outfit combos that stay in hiking gear most of the time. Each look can be swapped with a few simple pieces, keeping the bag light, but versatile. Everything is printed on one page for an at-a-glance checklist, which makes repacking for the next park trip a breeze. Up next, third, from Siesta Surf Zine, the Siesta Surf Zine, July 26th. Hey, so I was reading this Siesta Surf Zine post, and I thought you'd find it interesting. They're talking about their beach tote collection, specifically the gingham print, which hasn't been selling as well as they expected. They're wondering if it's just oversaturated in the market. Anyway, they shared what they pack in their gingham tote, which includes sunnies, a water bottle, sunscreen, and a portable speaker. They also have some recommendations for summer meals, like frozen pizzas and a black bean meal plan. They're sharing a few of their favourite recipes, including corn and zucchini orzo, roasted stuffed tomatoes, and a roasted veggie and halloumi grain bowl. They're also talking about their summer decor, like a projector for backyard movie nights, and a cute frame for displaying seashells and sea glass. Oh, and they've got some discount codes for various products, including a rug, tanning foam, and a screen-free camera. And then, fourth, from Motherhood Musings. Musing. It's what you want, but it's also sad. A mum's mixed emotions are on full display as she navigates the bittersweet reality of her older kids growing up and leaving the nest. She feels immense pride in their independence and accomplishments, but also a deep sense of sadness and longing for the little versions of them. With her eldest son living in another country and her second son travelling the world, she's constantly reminded of how quickly time has passed. She's torn between being happy for her kids' adventures and feeling a pang of heartbreak with each passing day. This emotional tug of war is a common experience for many parents, but it's one that can be hard to accept and process. Next, fifth, from the future of education. Why teens don't want to school alone. Thomas Arnett from the Clayton Christensen Institute joined Michael Horn on the Future of Education podcast to discuss why families are more resistant to innovative microschools in high school. They pointed out that traditional high school experiences, particularly social and extracurricular elements, hold strong appeal for most families, despite the growing popularity of personalised and lower-cost education models. The hosts noted that families seem to be willing to make choices outside of their district schools in kindergarten, first and second grade, but tend to snap back to traditional high school in high school. They explored the idea that families are clamouring for common experiences, such as college fears and pressures, cultural nostalgia, and rites of passage. Robert Pondicio's piece, Schooling Alone, was referenced, where he argued that students need to have a common experience to be able to converse with each other in civic and political arenas. Arnett suggested that this desire for commonality might be slowing down the growth and disruption of new education models. Up next, sixth, from New Modern Mom. 10 Things I Swear by After 3 Summers of European Beach Towns. I've been thinking about the perfect beach setup, and I've narrowed it down to some essentials that have survived multiple summers, kids, and countries of sand. The game changer for me is an extra large mesh beach bag that's only $15. It's pool and beach approved, and sand falls straight through. I also swear by foldable chairs, which are surprisingly lightweight and have become a must-have for every beach trip. Another non-negotiable for me is a waterproof and sandproof beach mat. It's a bit of an investment, but it's worth it. Sand doesn't stick, water doesn't soak through, and it dries in minutes. I've also learned to pack small Turkish towels, which dry quickly and are super compact for packing. When it comes to sunglasses, I look for ones that are polarised and flexible. I've also found that Crocs are a surprisingly useful item. They're easy to slip on and off, and waterproof. For kids, I use a life vest for ages 4 and up, and a specialised vest for ages 3 and under. I've also got a drawstring mesh bag for storing beach toys, and a JBL clip-on speaker that clips right onto the bag and survives sand and water. Finally, I use Owale 16 Oz Kids water bottles that keep drinks cold for hours and zero spills. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.